Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. It's great to be with everyone today. Trust you're having a good start to another day wherever you are. Maybe you're listening over in the European continent today, or maybe in the Middle East, in Israel. We want to say hello to our friends in Africa and down in South America as well. Good morning. It's good to be with you today. We're going to begin in 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to have a little conversation. I've got a dear friend that is on the line that will be joining me in just a moment to discuss something that most of you have not heard, but something you need to understand. And so I want to kind of build a bridge to that conversation. And I want to begin in 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'll explain why we're going in this direction. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. And I've always said this, and I believe that this is what the Apostle Peter was all about when it came to his letter to the church in his generation, was to continue to stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. He wants to remind them of something. He wants them to keep in memory some very important data, some very important information. And in verse 2, he says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So there he has a connection between the holy prophets of God in the old covenant and the new covenant apostles. And so the apostle and prophet, again, working together. And here's what he says in verse 3, knowing this first. Okay, so the very first thing that Peter wants to get into the memory bank of the people he's ministering to is that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust. And so just a little teaching here that impictus is the word for a scoffer. Again, impictus, and it literally means a derider, or by meaning a mocker. Okay, and then you could take that down, and it's a false teacher, and you could bring that even further down to somebody that derides or jeers or mocks. All right, so in the last days, Peter is saying that there will come deriders, jeerers, mockers. And here's what they're going to say. They're going to say in verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. That's what the mockers are going to say. That's what the scoffers are going to say. That's what the jeerers are going to say. They're going to say, where is the promise of the Lord's coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Now, let me just compliment 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, before I go any further. And let me read out of Isaiah chapter 5, beginning in verse 18. Isaiah 5, 18, what sorrow for those who drag their sins behind them with ropes made of lies, who drag wickedness behind like a cart. Now, listen to verse 19. They even mock God and say, hurry up and do something. We want to see what you can do. Let the Holy One of Israel carry out his plan, for we want to know what it is. Oh, what sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil. So verse 19, what's happening here? Well, there's a mocking spirit, and the mockers who are caring about their sin are deriding the message of Isaiah, because Isaiah was warning them of a coming judgment. But the mockers who are caring about their sin are mocking the message, and they're calling on God, go ahead, if you're so big, do something about it. Well, Jeremiah the prophet, he says the same thing, going back to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 14. Oh, Lord, if you heal me, I will be truly healed. If you save me, I will be truly saved. My praises are for you alone. People scoff at me and say, what is this message from the Lord you talk about? Why don't your predictions come true? Peter, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the apostles, and the prophets had the same problem that many of God's vessels are having today that are presenting the message of these end times, these last days, the coming doom. In fact, there's an article here that I want to share with you that prompted this study. And again, our dear brother is going to join me in a few minutes, but I want to get this article out here. This was something that prompted it, and this is an article written by Michael Snyder, and it was concerning the Economic Collapse blog. And he writes the article and says, major changes are coming to our planet, and the experts are groping for answers. In recent days, some have suggested that what we are witnessing is the natural progression of man-made climate change. But that explanation has generally been skepticism. Something truly dramatic appears to be happening to the globe, and it isn't just because the amount of carbon dioxide in the air suddenly reached some sort of magical tipping point, but without a doubt, temperatures are getting warmer. In July, Death Valley experienced the hottest month ever recorded on the planet. Over in Europe, Saturday was being billed as Europe's hottest day ever, and temperatures in Lisbon, Portugal, were expected to top 107 degrees both Saturday and Sunday. On the other side of the planet, the crippling drought in Australia, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, is devastating farms like a cancer. And things are so hot in North Korea that the government has declared an unprecedented natural disaster. In California, extreme heat and bone-dry conditions continue to fuel some of the worst wildfires in the history of the state. Ultimately, this may turn out to be the worst year for wildfires that California has ever seen. And of course, there have been bad years for wildfires before, but what we haven't seen before are firenadoes that pack 143 mile per hour winds. And so elsewhere in the Southwest, drought continues to intensify And this is starting to produce all kinds of problems. And ladies and gentlemen, this article just continues to talk about the enormous dust storms that just hit, for example, over in Phoenix, where a huge wall of dust enveloped the Phoenix metro area on Thursday in the second monsoon storm in a four-day span. Officials at Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport said flights were delayed or held until visibility improved. National Weather Services meteorologists said blowing dust in the Phoenix area brought near zero visibility for drivers Thursday evening. Now, certainly a dust storm is less destructive than a fire tornado in the short term, but as we saw in the 1930s, a consistent pattern of giant dust storms can absolutely cripple a nation. You remember the Grapes of Wrath. And let us not forget all of the shaking that has been happening to the crust of our planet. On Sunday, Indonesia was shaken by a magnitude 7.0 earthquake. So why is all this happening? Michael Snyder goes on to say in his message, and he just puts, yes, the amount of carbon dioxide in the air is increasing. It has been increasing for a very long time. Ultimately, the amount that humans contribute to the overall level of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere is marginal. And if we took the most extreme measures possible, there is very little that we could do to significantly affect the balance. And scientists assure us that our planet once had much, much higher levels of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, in the air, when we do today. And our planet appeared to have thrived under those conditions. But the narrative won't change. The mainstream media will continue to tell us that the earth changes that we are witnessing are due to global warming, and that if we reverse course, that we can go back to how things were before. No, we can't go back, because the changes that are happening are way outside of our control. Now, that was his simple message, talking about all the things going on, like a lot of people do. When you get to the bottom of the article and you start reading the comments that people made, the majority of the comments are pure jeering, heckling, mocking, scoffing, ridiculing. They get into the verbiage of doom, that's D-O-O-M, doom, like doom and gloom. They call it doom porn. They call it terror porn. They get into all of this really crass speech as to what is being presented. And yet, let me just read this article, which is going to segue into my call with our dear friend here. This is something that Daniel Seckham a week ago was lamenting about. And I went to this article from BBC News that is very recent, just hours ago, actually, or a day or two ago. And this is Australia's Turnbull. Now, Turnbull is the Prime Minister of Australia. Here's what he quoted. Now we are the land of droughts. Australia's Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull has warned that the country has become a land of drought as he announced further measures to help stricken farmers. The new package will provide an extra $140 million. Now, Daniel was very upset about this because here he is giving a few million to farmers in his own country when billions have gone to foreign aid. So again, this new package is going to give them $140 million in payments to farmers and for mental health support. It brings the total amount of government funding to $576 million. That's not even $1 billion. They've given over $50 billion to foreign aid, but here their own farmers are committing suicide. Although it is still winter, parts of eastern Australia are experiencing the worst drought in living memory. 99% of New South Wales, which is the country's most populous state and provides around a quarter of the country's agricultural output, is currently in drought. Australia's drought seen from the air, you could see it everywhere. And announcing the additional funding from a farm in the state, Mr. Turnbull said, now we are the land of droughts and flooding rains. We recognize that. So I was thinking, with all the different events going on in the world today, the signs that Jesus and the wisdom of Scripture tell us that we should be taking note of, and the reason why we present the facts of what's going on in the world is so that we could look through a biblical lens at the signs of the times and determine and interpret where we are as a people representing the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus was very disturbed with his generation because they ignored the signs of the times. We refuse to ignore the signs of the times. So in response to telling the truth of what's going on, you have the mockers and the scoffers mocking God, mocking God's messengers, mocking the things that are going on, saying it's always been that way. And now Australia, I mean, in this massive drought that they're going through, it did come, as Daniel said last week, after the decision to homosexualize the country with laws and legislation promoting homosexual agenda. And so this is kind of a result. And again, people would mock that, but it's the truth. It is a form of judgment on that country for doing what it did. America's been under so much judgment for so many years, particularly since 9/11, 2001, and going back in time, because we've always had some form of sin, and God deals justly as a perfect justice. He always does. So since abortion began, since the 1960s when we made war with God began, well, now Australia is certainly caught up in drought. But what about right here in the United States of America? Is there any proof that we are having some time trouble with drought? Well, to help me answer that question, my dear friend, Elder George Wright, is on the line, calling in from Wisconsin. Good morning, Brother George. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing good today, Pastor.
Well, that is terrific. George, yesterday you called into the program. We were so happy to hear from you. And then we had a conversation afterwards, and you told me some amazing things about what was going on in Wisconsin. Would you please share them with our listener today?
Well, if you realize that Wisconsin is a dairy state, and it produces probably the most milk, cheese, and what have you, and I have a friend, family here in Wisconsin that has 1,000 cows that they're milking a day. Imagine that, 1,000 cows that they milk in a day. And to feed them and what have you, I'll make a long story short. Farmers work from sun up to sundown, work hard. I went out to see one of the operations, and it is amazing how and when I was talking with the owner of that's invested probably putting $1 million in the cost of seed for soybeans and corn and all these things, alfalfa, all the different things that require to feed those cows, plus all the help that's required to, they come up each morning with a big, long, I don't know how many pound of milk it holds, but then it goes off the market. And they were getting, at one time, $22 per 100 pounds of milk, $22 for it. And this goes off in the market someplace. And today, they're getting $14. $14 per 100 today on the market. And it cost them $17, $18 for production costs. That's what they average out. They got this all figured out. And they have a suicide line set up here in Wisconsin for the farmers that have gone to put together the operation with all the government regulations and everything. It's cost them a fortune to even do that to meet all the regulations. But they have put up a suicide line because there are many of them, because they're so in debt, and they can't, what they sell their milk for, they can't pay the bills. And so they are committing suicide. And that's really the nut of what's happening here in the dairy industry. And there's a lot of them that are going out of business, being forced out of business of this because of the cost of their work. The fellow talking to me says, I'd at least would like to get the price that it costs us to do our work and production. But that is what's happening here in the United States in the state of Wisconsin.
Wow. You know, George, that is a report I guarantee that most people listening to this broadcast had no idea that the farmers in Wisconsin were committing suicide and they are suffering this kind of drought. And it's due to the tariff war with Canada and other parts of the, you know, tariff war going on around the world. I'm sure there's some connection there. But to think that they've set up hotlines because people are losing the farm. I mean, that is something you're not hearing on the nightly news. You're not hearing it on Fox or CNN or any other news outlet. I've not heard it before, but you've had direct communications. You're there right now in Wisconsin, and that is a reality, that there is a crisis going on in the number one producer of our dairy products in this country.
Yep, and I might mention that I also talked conversation with a individual that took his beef to market this last week, and he didn't get a good price at all for it. And when he was down there talking to them, that there is over 3,000 to 4,000 hogs down in Iowa being butchered every day. They're wow. cashing in to try to pay their bills. Now, and the same thing is happening with beef, that they're cashing in their beef, taking their beef cattle to market to try to pay their bills and that. So it is not just dairy. It's also the beef and the hogs and all the animals that go.
Wow. And so, you know, what amazes me is that people would not call this a crisis, that somehow this is all normal. And we know that this is not normal. We know that this is heading somewhere. And George, I want to thank you for reporting on that and letting us know what's going on in Wisconsin, because it's very disturbing. And in Iowa, with beef, with hogs, our dairy. And, you know, is this just a momentary little blip? Or is this something that, from your standpoint, we should be more concerned about as the future is looming? I mean, what do you see? Do you see this changing, or do you see this going away, or do you see this becoming a real problem?
I see it becoming a real problem. Talking with this owner with this that gave me this information, what they every day do, that they feel it is a continuation thing, and it doesn't look good at all for them. That's the way they feel.
It doesn't look like it's going to get any better.
Nope.
Things seem to have to get a lot worse before they get better, don't they, George?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. So thank you so much for reporting on that issue. I appreciate it, George, and I know our listeners do too. We're going to look into that issue. And we'll have to start praying. I mean, this is what we heard in Australia. We thought, my God, in Australia, if I went back to that article again, the final thoughts in the article I was reading is that the Turnbull literally said, it's a very volatile and often capricious climate, and Australian farmers are resilient, plan for drought. They are good managers, but it can become really overwhelming. And then ABC News showed Mr. Turnbull comforting a local charity worker who wept as she described the dire situation. And she said, I worry every day. I go to visit farming families that that I'm going to get to someone and it's going to be hours too late. It's literally that bad. So here we have in Australia, farmers killing themselves over a drought after killing their cattle. We're seeing it in Wisconsin right now. And we have all these other things that are swirling around our country. And I want to get to just a little bit of what happened in the last weekend. And once again, George, thank you so much for joining me on the air. But do you know this weekend there were major clashes with the right-wing supposedly patriots and the Antifa protesters? Did you know? In your country, right here in the good old USA, police in riot gear were summoned to downtown Portland Saturday to keep a lid on clashes between hundreds of right-wing protesters and self-described anti-fascist counter-protesters. So authorities patrolled the streets at midday, advising demonstrators to get out. There were some arrests, reported injuries, but it wasn't immediately clear how many of either occurred. A reporter for the Oregonian, Oregon Live, was bloodied when he was struck by a projectile, the Associated Press reported. Also, protesters aligned with Patriot Prayer and an affiliated group, the Proud Boys, met in a park at a rally organized by their group leader, Joey Gibson, but they were met by Antifa protesters carrying signs saying, "Nazis go home," and "alt-right scum not welcome in Portland." Well, wire reports say police officers stood in the middle of the four-lane boulevard, essentially forming a wall to keep the two sides separated. Indeed, the police presence remained strong throughout the demonstrations as bomb-sniffing dogs patrolled and weapons checkpoints were visible. At one point, authorities deployed flashbang devices to break up the feuding parties. Long sticks and homemade shields were confiscated, AP reported. So, again, what is happening in the world today? Intense rioting, intense violence, clashes within your own nation. And you have to go back and remember that a nation divided, a house divided, cannot stand. And so while all these events are going on, and the people that are mocking, jeering, scoffing, calling it fear porn or doom porn, and ridiculing and putting down the report that we're looking at with our own eyes. We just heard from Elder George in Wisconsin. I mean, Wisconsin American farmers are now having to connect with a suicide hotline because they are killing themselves. In Australia, democracy, in the West, if you will, a friend of the United States of America, the farmers are killing themselves. Is the Islamic curse that is being brought forth against our nation every single day working? Or is America up against something that is more than the Islamic curses? Is the curse of God upon our nation and upon Australia for the laws that have been perpetrated and built up? Or, you know, what is it that America and the West are dealing with right now? I mean, obviously, there are worse countries in the world that are more diabolical, right? But it appears that the West, America and our Western friends, that we seem to be getting the most of divine judgment or a crisis coming from the divine mind of God to try to wake us up and turn our course around. And in the meantime, you all have heard that the president, Donald Trump, this was way back in March, but it's serious business, man. He signed a $1.3 trillion omnibus bill. And he did it because he said there was no choice and he had to do it to support our military. But he opined his own decision, said, "I'll never do that again." Some people said he went down deep into the swamp and came up with some swamp monsters hanging on to him. You know, $1.3 trillion, and yet there was no money for funding the wall that he wants to build. Isn't that interesting? But there is a funding of Planned Parenthood. There is, in that Omni bill, foreign aid. Other nations will be getting a lot of money. And the left, Chuck Schumer, he's chuckling because he said, "We got more out of this Republican president than we did when Obama was a president in our $1.3 trillion omnibus deal." So something's wrong. Something's very wrong when in American cities, years ago, we would sit down and watch the news of what was going on in France or going on in the Middle East. And now in American cities, we've gone through police shootings. We've seen five officers shot and killed in one night in Dallas with seven others being wounded by one guy. We saw the Antifa, Black Lives Matter. We saw a consternation between the police and the citizenry in our country. We've watched the shootings of one madman walking into a Baptist church in Texas. 26 Christians were killed on a Sunday morning. Yeah, we forget about it. And then the 58 that were killed over in Las Vegas at a concert, the 17 that were killed in Parkland, Florida, going to school one day. We forget about the massive floodings. We forget about the massive fires. And now they're here once again when volcanoes are bursting. The earth is shaking. Men's hearts are growing increasingly wicked. There's just a sense of something wrong. And yet you got the scoffers. It's always been that way. It's always been that way. Nothing's ever changed. It's always the same. And if your messages are true about gloom and doom, then God, go ahead and do something. Clench your fist, oh God, and smash us if you will. That's what they're saying. But it's not a new mantra. It's something that's been going on for quite a long time. I'd like to talk with you about it this morning. We've got some good time on the air here today. So if you have any questions, comments, or thoughts you would like to share about what we're talking about, maybe you have a different opinion. Although I'm not presenting my opinion, I'm bringing you biblical reality, and we could go deeper into the Word of God to clarify that America has been under judgment for a very long time. And if you cannot connect the dots between Australia's government promoting the homosexual agenda and then all of a sudden falling into a drought unprecedented so that their farmers are killing themselves en masse, well, then what is it? If this is not judgment, if the consternation within our nation, nation rising against nation, race against race, If we're not looking at judgment, then what are we looking at? I would love for Mark Taylor to tell me, you know, I would love for somebody else that keeps putting down the gloom and doomers and insisting that America is not under judgment. I would love for them to explain what it is. Because if it is just the Islamic curse coming from over the sea, over the waters, and the Islamic curse is hitting us, and that's why we're having all these troubles. Or is it always just been this way? Well, that's what the mockers would say. So I really need to hear from somebody on the other side that has some Christian principles, hopefully, that is insisting that God is blessing America. That God is blessing America. Meanwhile, our farmers are shooting themselves. Meanwhile, you know, people are losing everything they've got. Meanwhile, we're having this war going on between fringe groups on the inward parts. I mean, we've got crazy, corrupt stuff going on all around us, and yet this is not judgment. What is it? Can somebody please tell me what it is that we're looking at, particularly since 9/11/2001, when 3,997 citizens of the United States of America were slaughtered in a one-day attack that nobody knows if it's a false flag event or if it really happened by Al-Qaeda. That confusion is still there, like John F. Kennedy getting shot. Nobody knows who did it, right? And so the cover-up is deep. We have a man in the office that has provoked this consternation that is going on. But what is it? 9/11. Let's go back. Katrina. Let's go back to the wildfires. Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back to 2008. Let's look at it. What is that? What is that? We weren't in these conditions a generation ago. So what are we looking at? What are we looking at? Now, from one side of the spectrum, if you will, the Bible is so absolutely black and white clear that when you sin against God as a nation that knows the will of God, your judgment will be severe. And God will judge a nation, hoping that those judgments, those crises, will provoke them to change their ways and repent. But when a nation fights against the judgments of God and continues to sin even more, then God will turn the nation over to doom. So yes, there's a projection of doom and gloom, but it's not sensual, pornographic imagery to turn people on to the terror that's coming. No, it is a reality of biblical, pure-hearted scripture that has warned this nation, and yet the people are shaking their fists saying, okay, God, come on. You got all these messengers out here saying you're going to judge us. I mean, imagine the people in San Francisco smiling, mocking, laughing, clenching their fists. Yeah, if you're going to judge us, God, for our ways, then go ahead. You haven't done a thing. Come on, show your power, God. Right? So what is going to happen? God, in his due season, will move. While the mockers are mocking, while the scoffers are scoffing, while the jeerers are jeering, while the deriders are deriding. I mean, obviously, this is permitted to happen for a period of time. It's happened in history. They mocked. But the day will come. The moment will come. And what we do is we look, we watch through the lens of Scripture, and when we see the things going on in our country and around the world, and we're getting closer and closer to Bible prophecy being fulfilled. That's why Bible prophecy is so excellent, not just so everybody can go write a book and become a millionaire. No, Bible prophecy is to make the saints of God aware of what's coming. Now, most of the Bible prophecy teachers today are teaching the same thing, that we're in trouble. The only difference is whether we're going to disappear at a pre-trib rapture or not. Okay, but everybody's basically agreeing that, you know, those that have a conscience for Christ are looking at the scripture saying, we have a problem. And the scoffers in the world are the only ones that are deriding that biblical end time prophetic reality. I think a lot of the majority of men and women of God understand the times that we're living in. And so the church should not be waiting for the world's approval for the world to stop mocking and say, oh, you guys must be right. Don't ever wait for that, because not until Noah entered into the ark did the people that were mocking in his generation come to the realization. And remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he said that they will be buying and selling, they will be building and planting, giving in marriage. In other words, the world is never going to allow for the Christian perspective to become a dominant theme in our reality. And as a matter of fact, let me tell you how it's getting in America today. Everybody knows who Greg Laurie is. He does the Harvest Crusades in Southern California, where 100,000 people show up in stadiums. Well, they've got another event coming up right now at Angel Stadium. So they put out a bunch of signs, billboards, to invite people, and it showed a picture of Greg Laurie with a book in his hand. Doesn't even say Bible. It's just a book, so they didn't have a cross on it or anything to offend anybody, and they were forced to shut it down. And as a matter of fact, even when they tried to modify it, take Greg out of the way and just invite, well, the attack was so severe in California that they were forced to take down the advertisement signs about an upcoming harvest where 10,000 people normally are giving their lives to Jesus Christ. You see, there's a growing consternation against Christianity. The farmers are dying. There's drought in the land. There's fire in the land. There's flooding in the land. What's next on the horizon? What's next on the horizon? We have conflicts, riots, battles, cultural battles, verbal battles, political battles, physical battles. We're, you know, the Islamic world, the enemies of America must be sitting back saying, wow, this is the time we've all been waiting for. They must be sitting back. Russia, China, North Korea, Islam, who knows wherever the other enemies are, just watching and salivating and waiting and saying in their heart, this internal combustion in America is going to blow, and then we're going to have our opportunity to move like we've been waiting to move. Let's take our first call coming in this morning concerning the conversation from the north. Well, where am I saying here? From the northwest region of Arkansas. Let's take that call. Area code 715 or area code 479-715. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. How are you doing today?
I am wonderful, Randolph. How are you today?
Listening to your program to find out what's really going on. Something that I've went through, and certain other individuals are probably going through themselves too. Something that's I know the Paul the Apostle has said to be able to look forward, to be able to look at the cross and see what's going on. But there was something that you said some time ago, and it was in Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 10, where I don't think Paul the Apostle had wrote this, but let me go ahead and read it real quick. It says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not thou chastening of the Lord, not faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and strengtheneth every son whom he receiveth. If he endureth the chastening with you with sons, for what son he whom the father chastens not? But if he be without chastisement, whereof are ye partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and life?" Mm-hmm. And it goes on. And the thing about it is, yeah, we've been going through all these shootings and stuff like that. We've been going through all these problems and stuff like that. But have we obeyed the commandments and the laws which our Father in heaven had gave to us for this country to be able to be able to prosper and to be able to put the gospel towards other individuals? Where are we? Paul the Apostle said we need to get. Have we done that?
Right.
I mean, have we?
That's a great point. No, the answer is absolutely no, we have not. But you bring up a great point, whether it's an individual that's walking in personal relationship with God or whether it's a nation that refuses the discipline of the Lord, then we see the judgments come. Excellent point. Appreciate the call. Let's take in our next call this morning coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
America has been considered the breadbasket of the world. But because of the sin and iniquity in our nation, God is judging it. And weather conditions are having a lot to do with it. And that's one of the ways God uses, because of famine will come. And I'd like to have you elaborate on that black horse in the Bible where it talks about in the book of Revelations. Could you give us an example of what that exactly means?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'll give it my best shot. In my personal studies in the book of Revelation, the four horses are the beginning of end time prophecy. And you get to that white horse of deception and some event that happens where there's a great victory. That's why the crown is awarded. It has something to do with arrows. We could describe that. We get it to the red horse of revolutionary war, bloodshed. I mean, that's the red horse. The black horse is obviously talking about famine and an economic collapse. And the interesting thing about the four horses of what we call the apocalypse, or the beginning of the prophecy of the end times, is that those horses have left the gate. I mean, the white horse, the red horse, the black horse, the light green colored horse, they leave the gate, but they continue to ride throughout time until they are confronted by the rider on the white horse in Revelation 19, the real purified Jesus Christ of Nazareth and his people. So that economic imbalance, that famine that would come through drought, it has been around the world. It will continue throughout the end times, if you will, to show up and to strike different parts of the world. And when that horse rides through the United States of America, through the North American continent, we can expect, and we've even seen it before. We've had droughts in our country before. We've seen these types of things take place. So, you know, I believe that this is not something that's just beginning to happen. I believe this horse left the gate some time ago, and it's just kind of moving in our direction right now. It seems to show up and thrive on sin ridden people or nations. Those are my thoughts. But, you know, I was thinking of something that you had mentioned also, and have said. You had a conversation with Dimitri Dudeman many, many years ago in your house. You housed this prophet of God from Romania, and he told you, and he wrote to the world that in the last days of America that there would be an internal war going on, and then foreign nations would be waiting for their opportunity to pounce. Many years have gone by since Dimitri Dudeman gave that word, but do you sense that right now in this country that his words are beginning to come to pass?
Absolutely. And it had to do with racists rising up against each other, because he definitely said that to me. And at that time, like this was in 1990, I couldn't see it, but I do see it now, and it will intensify. But well, there is a promise to God's people that are in the secret place of the Most High. During this timetable that we're going to go through, we will be kept by the Master's hand. So that's our only hope until this is we've gone through this.
Amen. And I appreciate that call from South Dakota. And I want to go back to something Randolph was saying. Randolph, you should still be on the line right now. And Randolph, you brought up a point about in Hebrews chapter 12, this personal relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ, that an individual or a nation is to be walking with him. And Father God is a trainer. He's a discipler. He trains up his kids. And so when there is a rejection, eventually God will turn that individual over to judgment. And I'm thinking about 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where a young man was sinning in the church, and the Apostle Paul said, I'm turning him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul may be saved. Is that kind of the conversation you were presenting to us? Are you there, Randolph? Oh, I think we missed Randolph. Okay. So anyways, I thought it was an excellent point, and it brings up a sobriety within our thinking. And what is that sobriety? That we are coming to a place, personal lives, in our nation and around the world, where God is going to move sovereignly, where God is going to move and he's going to begin to separate. Now, we've heard this message for a very long time. He's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. And those are personalities. Those are characteristics of an individual. There's either wheat or there's chaff. It's human nature from divine nature. Now, what I want to do is, I think our brother George is called back into the program. I want to make sure that I give him ample opportunity. George, did you have a question or comment that you wanted to make before we move forward here today?
Well, one comment that I'd like to make in all this, that if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior deep down in your heart, and he will, like in Psalms 91, he will put you under his wing and bring us through this, whatever it happens to be. And it is going to be a time of tribulation, but he will watch over us. That's a promise in the scriptures.
Yeah, George, I like that because in reality, what you're saying, and maybe this is how the dialogue should go. Maybe America, rather than listening to certain people saying we're not under judgment, maybe what we need to do is say, you know what, we are under judgment, but God is a merciful God. And if we confess our sin and we repent and turn away from our sin and turn to the Lord, His mercy and His love will soften the blows and begin a restoration. But if we refuse to admit that we have sinned against God in our government, in our policies, in our politics, in our conduct as a people, as a citizenry, if we refuse to admit that and we continue to hear, we're not under judgment, we're not under judgment, well, all this stuff is going on. Well, if you have somebody telling you you're not under judgment, you're not under judgment, then you have no reason to repent. There's no reason to confess anything. But if we could just admit we've been under judgment for a long time and we're about to be turned over to doom and destruction because the judgment did not produce what it was intended, which is repentance. So if we don't have repentance, what we've been looking at will be patty cakes compared to the massive strokes that will come. And yes, God is a loving God. And yes, God is a loving Father. We don't deny that. God is full of mercy and compassion. We don't get what we deserve most of the time. We get that. A personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, intimacy with the Holy Spirit, we get that. We get that. Critical moments are upon us. And for the person, the individual whose life comes to an end, not having worked out a salvation in their inward parts. I mean, folks, 2 weeks ago, I hung on the side of a mountain facing certain death. That is a true story. And I contemplated at a very, very deep level, a very deep level, what I was about to face. I'm going to take another call coming in from area code 605. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Oh, it's me again. I just wanted to say
no,
yes.
It's me, Kathy.
Oh, hey,
oh, sorry. I'm in another room. Okay. All right.
Go ahead, Ken. Good morning. And then we'll get back
Go
to Kathy.
Here.
I'd like to sort of give you an example of the way that I see this, where people are questioning whether or not this is a judgment of God. I own a house. I live in it. And this is just an example. I have a family. Turns out that my children are to a point where they are getting into that teenage years, and all of a sudden they start to rebel somewhat against me. So they end up, my daughter comes home and she ends up, she says she has to have an abortion because she is pregnant, been messing around. My son comes home, he has his girlfriend, and he wants to sleep here with his girlfriend in my house and that. And when they were young, they might have been unruly, but they ended up at the point where I disciplined them, they accepted it. Once they quit accepting discipline, it turns out that you have to make a decision as a father, whether that's me or whether that's God. And when you make that decision, you end up, you either go along with them or you take a stand. Once you take a stand, you end up, you say, no, you will not be living in this house as long as you're acting the way that you are.
And if they were permitted to live in that house, acting the way that they are, what do you think would happen to your house?
I think I'd have to burn it down myself.
And isn't that the call from Black Lives Matter, Antifa? Burn it down. Burn this house down. We've actually heard that. And obviously, the quote-unquote leaders of our nation have opened the doors to such a perverse spirit but nobody's saying we've got to get that out. That's not permitted. No, we don't only accept it, but we promote it within our nation. So how could there be anything other than the burning down of the house through nuclear weapons?
And people don't know how to say no anymore to what is coming to us because of the fact that we have been programmed as citizens of this country to the point where we can't say anything against anything, whether it's good or bad, because you got people that are going to come up against that. And I mean, it's just like, I have friends and I have people that I have ended up, I've said, no, thank you. They're not going to end up come into my house and sleep with their girlfriend or whatever. And that, and yet they're allowing it, and supposedly they claim to be Christians, and their comment is, well, everybody's doing it.
Right.
And my feelings on that is the point where everybody might be doing it, but I live by the book, and the book ends up says, we will not doing that, and that book is the Bible.
Now, you have to admit, Kathy, in this conversation, that if you know, the individual sins against God, there's going to be a judgment in the eternal realms. But the reason why I brought up, you know, the nuclear weapons, because, again, Dmitry Dudeman mentioned the fact that that's how America would be destroyed, by nuclear weapons. Am I correct?
Yes, he said the Russians and probably the Chinese by now, they know where all of our nuclear plants are, all of them.
And he mentioned from San Francisco to, you know, Southern California, and he named other places throughout the nation, that there would be a nuclear annihilation in the United States because it was Sodom and Gomorrah. And again, God doesn't need nuclear weapons. God could send an asteroid, a comet. He could blow a volcano. God could do anything he wants. He could shake the earth by putting his fingertip upon that fault line, right?
Yes, that's correct. But, you know, this cup of iniquity is full, and it must be like, that's why God destroyed the old world. Noah, the cup was full. It's happening again. So all this is going to be fulfilled according to the whole book of the Bible. What Jesus said is going to become a new heaven and a new earth. So we're in a process of this happening, and we have to just stay faithful to the end.
Well, amen to that. And I want to say thank you for all of the calls that came in today. I'm going to leave you with this word today. And you're going to have to be the judge. You're going to have to be the judge. I heard in my spirit last night, nearing the end of the evening, now the fall begins. Now the fall begins. What does that mean? I know the fall is coming just a month or so away. We're going to move into the season of the Feast of Tabernacles, the blowing of trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, the Day of Atonement. But is that what is being referred to? Now the fall begins. And I believe it has something to do with our president. Keep your eyes open. Be very watchful. We are not living in usual times. Don't listen to what the scoffers and the mockers will tell you. Don't listen. They are not right. They've been around for a very long time, and they have sought to undermine the truth of God for a very, very long time. The thing that I hear most on these broadcasts from our listeners is, stand your ground. Stand your ground and do not be moved. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And I believe that this is the message, and you and I in Christ on the light side of the day, we can experience the great blessings of Yahweh, Father, Abba, Daddy. I'll never deny that. But let's beware. I'm going to leave you with Keith Green. My eyes are dry. All right, so we're going to get to this and ask the Lord to bless this song to your heart as we move forward into the day. Up next, Patricia Joy Xavier. Shalom.
My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be alive to you.
Some very serious things on Pastor Vincent Xavier's radio program today. And the question is, can be done, as you heard from Keith Green. What can we do? We're hearing about suicide like we have never heard it before. Young adults are committing suicide. Teenagers are committing suicide, and now we're hearing that the people that own property and farms and cattle in Australia and in the Americas, they're committing suicide. What's going on, folks? What is happening before our very eyes? And what are we to do? What are we to do? Let's look at suicide and let's find out a little bit about it and what causes it. Because, you know, I'm in the deliverance ministry and I know at least two people that could be on the verge of suicide. And it is my desire to help them to overcome this incredible demonic presence, which has been growing in our country and all over the world. And I believe it started with the work of the Muslims, as they had done many destructive things by killing themselves all over the world. And they are trained in such a manner in some particular sects of Muslims. And that spirit has grown and is slowly taking over all the nations. Then how are we to be? Suicide leaves you lots of whys. And many of us have been affected directly or indirectly by suicide. Not everyone. Have you been personally affected by the suicide of a loved one? And of course, no one should feel obligated or pressured to share it if you are uncomfortable doing it. But think about it. Have you had these experiences? Proverbs 13:12 tells us, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And it is indicated in some studies that 90% of those who have attempted or committed suicide had a diagnosis of psychotic disorder at the time and also spiritual bondage and vexation. Most of the time, suicide has its roots in the spirit of depression, and people feel like they have no hope. Have someone lately read Psalms 46:1? I grabbed a hold of it. And here's what it says. That is where our hope lies. God is a refuge and strength. It lies in that scripture. Not only in the past, not only in the future, but right now, in the present, in the eye of the storm, when things look their worst, God is the refuge and strength. And that's what it says in Psalms 46:1. Jesus told us that in this life we will have trials and troubles, but we can live with joy and peace because of our hope in Him. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance if we will allow it. And endurance develops strength of character. And character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God does love us because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. You know, in Romans 5:3-5, it says, but so often a person who takes their life just can't see that. They are at a point where they can't believe that there is hope for them and that God is with them. God deferred and their heart got sick. Depression interferes and makes it very hard for them to process the truth. We ask today's question because at times people have claimed that suicide is the unpardonable sin. Mike explained, a person who was involved, why suicide is a sin and that it breaks God's heart because it hurts God's children when a believer who has received God's great grace gets confused, sick, depressed, or hopeless and takes their own life. But that doesn't make it the unpardonable or the unforgivable sin. We're not saved by our goodness. We're not saved by our lack of sin. We're saved because of His mercy, because Jesus took one of our sins, past, present, and future, to a blood-stained cross. If a suicide victim had sincerely made the decision, I believe, in their lifetime, and accepted Christ as their forgiver and the Lord before their death, and confessed that they are extremely demonically oppressed, and please forgive, at the time of that procedure of death, I believe they will find their way to the arms of God by this amazing grace we all need to get there. But if they had thought in their hearts, I'm going to commit suicide, I am demonically possessed right now, they may not be aware of it. But if at the process of committing that sin, they cry out for forgiveness, forgive me, Lord, forgive me for this. I am not in my right mind. I believe God's heart and arms would be open to them at that point. I know He was to the sinner on the cross. He merely said, I believe. If someone committing suicide makes a declaration of, forgive me, I do believe, I'm so sorry for what I just did, I believe God is going to see him through it. Though they may have temporarily lost sight of what heaven was at the moment, I believe that they have an ability to grab hold, if God wills, right before they do that entirely horrible thing or in the midst of it more. Some of us are struggling and fighting feelings of hopelessness, or perhaps someone we love has attempted or committed suicide. And the Bible tells us that God wants us to share each other's burdens. That's why I'm in the ministry of deliverance. We are to honor each other above ourselves, to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. We are committed to be a church that practices this kind of love for people. What are some ways we can love those we know who are struggling with depression or hopelessness? folks, it is prayer. To get on our knees and pray. We have to pray for each other. If you are facing a specific area of spiritual battle, share the struggle and have them pray over you. And then let the work of deliverance, of demonic deliverance, be done. If you know somebody in the ministry that can cast out demons of depression and suicidal thoughts, run to them. Run to them. Ask for their help. For deliverance is the answer when one is so bogged down with so many demonic, hopeless, depressive spirits. And there are more verses that you can pray. Lord, help me. Turn my heart toward what is right. Lift me out of the pit of despair. But a deliverer in the ministry of deliverance can bind that spirit of despair. If you're not able to do so through your prayer, get me out of the mud. Get me out of the mire. Set my feet on solid ground and steady me as I walk. Give me a new song in my heart, a praise to you, and see what God will do for you. And then I think he will bring you, if you cry out, bring me to someone who can help me. He'll bring you to a deliverer. Deliverers, it is said, are on Mount Zion, ready to help. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. And in kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared, and he saved us, not because of our righteousness or the great wonderful things we think we have done, but because of his mercy. And then we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. Listen, when you are dealing with Satan's demonic host, there is no other name that can execute judgment upon them but the name of Jesus Christ. As you've seen in movies holding up the crucifix and in some religious pictures, never did and never will get the job done. It is his name and his name alone that will. It is not Buddha. It is not Confucius. It is not any Hindu god nor any other Jesus, but the Jesus of the inspired word of God, the Bible. The word of God is spoken from the mouth of a true believer that will bring forth deliverance from the attacks of Satan. Folks, it's so important right now. You're hearing the truth. Suicide is on the rampage. The spirit of suicide is grabbing the heart of hopeless people. People who lost hope. People who have been depressed. People who have been on medication and drugs. It is grabbing hold of people who are losing whatever they have worked so hard to get. Brings a hopelessness within their heart. Jesus Christ earned the right upon the cross. His name and his name alone died for our sins. Jesus Christ and he alone has promised resurrection from the dead as the beginning of more to come. He also has conquered death itself. Now we, as the people of God, must learn about deliverance. We must execute the judgment on death itself and say, no, you will not have any more room to devastate in this nation any more people or in my church or in my family. We bind your efforts, oh foul spirit of death, depression, suicide, and hopelessness. We work against you in the name of Jesus Christ. And the word becomes more and more glorious each time we speak it. We speak the word of God. For Jesus came to set the captives free. Are we just watching and listening and doing nothing about it? Are we hearing of death, of suicide within our family members and doing nothing about it? Soon as you discern someone is being afflicted and vexed by this demonic presence, you go, called you to do as a Christian, and cast out those devils. And if you don't know how to do it, then get my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, that will bring you through and show you what must be done to set the captive free. I wrote this book for that purpose and reason, and especially for a time such as this. We can rise up, church. We could be the overcomers God called us to be and help others to overcome these devastating spirits that are roaming the earth right now and being thrusted here and there, left and right, upon multitudes of people. If you would care enough, you can order it. You can order my book on Amazon. Type in Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and the book will become available to you. Send for it. Or if it is pleasing to you to help this program and the once preceding Omega radio station to make it even greater and better than what it is all over the world, then send at least $20 of a gift to Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72715. No, that's incorrect. Let me check that. That would be at P.O. Box 100, Decatur, Arkansas, 72722. And send a gift of at least $20 to Pastor Vincent Xavier for Omega Radio Station and for the wonderful programs you're hearing upon it. Put your hand to the plow, and I would like to, in return, bless you with my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, which will help you learn how to bring deliverance to individuals that are in need desperately, in your family members, in your church, especially those who are depressed and oppressed at this time. Satan will take advantage, and you have to learn how to witness these things, how to discern them, so that you can be a help to get them delivered. Believe in his word and have knowledge of his works. And these works will be evident in your life. So you will become a deliverer on Mount Zion. Jesus told us through the Holy Spirit in James 1, 22 through 24, that we should prove ourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude ourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, and for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. Let's not be in that mode now. The time is too short. We have to rise up as a people as never before. This is a time to become a deliverer on Mount Zion and for your life to know how to overcome the world, the devil, and the flesh so that you can do a work that is absolutely profound that will help multitudes of people be set free at a time such as this. The book of Joel speaks of blowing the trumpets and sounding the alarm on his holy hill. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to make a statement? I pray and hope that the study that I have been doing on radio with you, blowing the trumpet, sounding the alarm in Zion, and Zion means among all the Christians, and those who have become one new man in the earth, we are giving a loud and long trumpet call at the direction of Almighty God. And oh, how we hope that it will be heard. Joel 2:32 says it, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be delivered. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be those who escape. Remember, Zion represents the body of Christ, the true believers. Jerusalem is a type and shadow from the Old Testament of the Christian body today, as it represents the believing church, where there will be deliverance among the survivors. And Jews who receive Jesus Christ as their Messiah and Christians alike will become one new man in the earth, doing a work of deliverance among survivors, helping them to survive. You know, unfortunately, some have waxed cold and have fallen away from God's grace. And the scriptures tell us that in these latter days, there will be many who will fall out of grace and turn away from the faith. God, help them. But God will help them through us. Are you willing to be a deliverer on Mount Zion? Are you willing to put your hand to the plow? You're going to stand before God with what you know. Very soon he is coming to judge first the church and the house of God, and then the world. In fact, he's in process of that right now. It isn't going to be. It is. We know that those who receive deliverance from sin will survive. We're crying out on Omega Radio, cleanse yourself of all unrighteousness. Put on your righteous robes. Sin no more. For God has said that we die to sin. We should die to sin. Sin should have no more control over us. Not at this time, people of God. But again, erroneous teachings in churches, Bible studies, who give wonderful words of love, which we appreciate, but do not tell people the truth that they can overcome sin, the flesh, the devil, and the world, and God has called us to do so, they are not servicing God's people. They are leaving them half equipped to do the mighty work which is necessary in the earth today. They are limiting God Almighty and all of the power and authority that he has granted his children to do also. They are limiting the body of Christ. They are limiting God in reading the word in a manner and way that isn't truly by the Holy Spirit and is by the legalistic concepts and ideas of men. It's time that changes. And we are crying out on Omega Radio to teach you the truth of God's word. And if you're not in agreement with it, then let us hear about it. Let us move in the right direction. You can contact me at Patricia Joy Xavier, Xavier. Patricia Joy Xavier. You know, I forgot my Patricia Joy Xavier at, well, I forgot it. Pardon? Patricia Joy Xavier at gmail.com. It's been a while since I've used it, but I want to use it if you are willing to question me or to give me something better to understand. I want to go forward. I want to go upward and forward. I hope you do too. But not all feel worthy of the call of deliverance. Not all will accept that they are not worthy in themselves to receive this calling, but it is through the worthiness of Christ that we must all come to. And that worthiness we must put on. The righteousness of Jesus Christ and his cleansing blood we must put on. In these latter days, the trumpet has been blown. We're blowing it, and I'm sure you're hearing it on other programs. And we are to go out to battle. Christ has won the battle for us. He has won the battle for us. But it is up to us to fight the war that was started by the fall of Adam, the first man, and finish it by the power of the second Adam, the risen Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, who gave us his Holy Spirit, who gave us the Spirit of the Father, who gave us the authority and the power to do so. Satan has been here all along, killing, destroying, and stealing from us. How long are we going to let it go on? Yes. We receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior into our hearts. And then we begin to go through the process of sanctification. We must be sanctified, made clean, holy. And then at that point, there is a change. It is justification first, sanctification second. And then it's glorification. And he's wanting to pull his people into the glory. It's time to be sanctified after justification and then to become glorified to do the work he's called us to do in a kingdom process of his. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We can't allow the killing and the destroying and the stealing anymore from the body of Christ. Enough is enough. We should know by now that we are warriors, the Lord. And thank God we have the victory in the second Adam, Jesus Christ, who has redeemed all that will come by the narrow gate. That's the justification. Those who come by this gate, he is in the process of restoring to the glory of the first man he created. And that process is sanctification and then the glorification of the first man he created in the garden, bringing us back from the very beginning, a circle. Return to the garden with the beautiful, magnificent Spirit of the living God living fully within us and touching everything that has been touched by him, made clean and holy and right. It is my desire to see God's church walk in such victory that when Satan comes, he will find no sin within us as it was in Jesus Christ. When he comes, he will see that our house is filled with the power and the authority and the faith of Jesus Christ living within us. That's what he'll see. And he will see a fire around and about us. And he'll note that there's no sin he can attach himself to within us. Praise God. Be praised, O Lord Jesus, for the great work you have done for our lives. I am going to ask you one more time to reach your hand forward, deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, so we can walk together as an army of the Lord and cast out devils, heal the sick, open blind eyes, and raise the dead. The time is now. Will you do so? God bless you. I pray with all my heart that you were touched today to become a warrior, to become that overcomer that I keep talking about. It is for all of us. In Yeshua's name, amen.